Hello, I am the barrister Stephen Barrett, and I want to make you aware of the case of Fouad Awale, which is a particularly shocking and disgraceful case. You may have heard some stories of a £240,000 payout to a disgraceful and disgusting murderer, and that's the case that we're going to discuss. And what we're going to do is explore why it shames the justice system, why it exposes the sheer breakdown of our legal system, and how our legal system is now run entirely for the benefit of lawyers. And we're going to go through that piece by piece. First of all, you may not know who Mr. Awale is, but in 2013, he murdered with a gun two teenagers by shooting them in the head in a style the judge termed an execution. He's a practicing Muslim, but he's been identified as an extremist and holding extremist views. He was sent to prison, quite rightly, for life, to maximum security, where he and some other prisoners took a prison officer hostage and repeatedly threatened to kill the innocent prison officer. This man is scum, evil, choose whichever word you want, but this is the darkness in the human soul, and there is nothing of any redeeming quality in him. Because of how he behaved, he was sent to something called the Close Supervision Centre, which sounds like a punishment, but of course it isn't. We're a weak and pathetic state, and effectively he was rewarded for his poor behaviour. Whilst in this centre, it is very clear that the management basically attempted to micromanage his social life. It's clear from the case, I've read it, that many times individuals in management offered various play dates with fellow prisoners, which he refused. And it's also very clear to me, although not clear to the judge, because of course, if anybody makes an allegation of racism, we must immediately assume that they're telling the truth, that he made many false allegations of racism and Islamophobia. The authorities simply say they don't have the resources to know whether that was true or not. Right, well, I'm just going to personally believe it's not true. If we have a crisis in our prisons, it's Islamism. But anyway, this monster, Mr. Awale, refused all kind offers of playdates to micromanage his social life whilst he's in prison. Right, that's pathetic. The fact that that is the nature of our country and that's how our tax money is spent and our resources are used is pathetic. What then happens? He then claims to be suffering from depression because he's not socializing properly. Yes, the element of his own involvement in this is obviously not to be taken into account. He then is given a KC and a junior barrister to bring a claim against the government that we pay for. The government then employs a KC and a junior barrister that you pay for. Both of these KCs come from the same barrister's chambers, Matrix Chambers, which is widely renowned as left-wing leaning, set up by Tony Blair's wife, Cherie Blair, as one of the founding members, has very close Labour links, and is designed primarily to attack the government. So Mr. Awale may well want a KC from Matrix Chambers. It's not clear why the government chose to have a KC from Matrix Chambers. The world does not want for KCs, certainly not nowadays. Anyway, that case was then brought and heard by a judge, Mrs. Justice Ellen Bogan. Now, the judge has written 149 paragraphs, which is 68 pages, of incandescent, impenetrable waffle. It is full of, oh, but sometimes we'll do this, unless, of course, we do the other. And of course, sometimes this will be the thing that it is, unless of course it isn't. This is not law. This is the inversion of law. This is the absolute descent into pure subjectivity. And they've done that because they don't want to set a precedent. They've said this ca every case must be judged on its merits. Oh, that's handy. That way we can employ more KCs on ridiculous fees. If every single case must be assessed on its merits, we can't have any binding precedent. We can't move forward towards efficiency. We'll be permanently mired in bureaucratic nonsense. And they've done that for one very specific reason. Many of you watching this will know that Tommy Robinson was put into solitary confinement, and nobody seemed to care about micromanaging his social life or the impact on his mental care. And should he bring a claim, they want to be able to make it look like they're finding against him with some sort of justification, whereas in fact they'd simply find against him because he's Tommy Robinson. This is the country we now live in. Now, this disgraceful, largely waffly, and massively contradictory judgment cites both the public sector equality duty and Article 8. Article 8. We are to be, that's the right that I would say ordinary citizens have to a family life. By going to prison, you have really rescinded the idea that you have the right to an ordinary family life and all that you get to be treated in a normal way. That's the very basis of prison. But of course, we mustn't punish anybody. And so eventually the judge, having waffled for a very long time, finds that although the administrative committees inside this organisation, this special prison, if you like, what they call the CSC, although they did assess him, obviously, and there were multiple times when they tried to arrange playdates for him, they didn't do it quite enough in proportion to his rights. They didn't do it in quite the right way that he deserved, because he's a special little soldier. Of course, should Tommy Robinson so complain, they'll find out that they did it in perfectly, absolutely the right way, perfectly, and all matters were assessed to entirely within proportion of Tommy Robinson's rights. That we live just now in blatant hypocrisy, as far as I'm concerned. And The Sun reports most accurately, to my mind. I do like The Sun as a newspaper because it's so brief. It doesn't drown in words, unlike Mrs. Justice Ellen Bogan. There's no need to confuse and deflect or to hide what you are doing from the public. The Sun makes everything clear. The Sun involves the light of disinfectant, perhaps the most aptly named publication. Anyway, The Sun says that this Islamist double murderer who's had all the entertainment of this, all the special treatment of, you know, meetings with counsel, meetings with solicitor, pats on the hand, do you feel all right? Oh, are you going to be brave enough giving evidence? Oh, maybe you should have a special extra banana today. All of this special treatment and attention that has been lavished upon him has also been given £7,500 of our money. Now, he has no expenses. So all he really needs to do is to put that in the stock market, and by the time he comes out, he'll be a wealthy man. He doesn't even need to take risk on Bitcoin. Okay? So although it's just £7,500, if he's got any sort of savviness, and let's assume he hasn't, you know, we have rewarded somebody for nothing. Now, the truth of all that comes out in the last, or the penultimate paragraph. No, it is the last one. In default of the agreement between the parties, there shall be an assessment of non-pecuniary damages. Pause. Non-pecuniary damages means loss that isn't real. Okay? Our English legal system is based upon the idea of damages, loss. If I cut off your thumb, I have caused you damage, literally physical damage to your body. And then there will be consequences of that damage, and that's the money that you should get in compensation. Non-pecuniary damages is this completely woolly idea that we've somehow hurt your feelings. It also includes reputational damage, which I'm really not sure a man who has killed who has murdered two teenagers has any reputational damage to suffer. It's this idea of loss by hurty feelings and loss because I don't feel right. I was offered playdates, but they weren't the right playdates that I was offered. That to me is an admission that the judge knows that this is a complete nonsense. Right, but let's assess this. When you actually have law, as well I know, this case was conducted under the civil proceedings rules. Civil proceedings rules say that all cases are supposed to be proportionate as to costs, which actually means that the damages, the amount awarded, has to be proportionate to costs. So it doesn't take a genius for you to work out, but let me just tell you, suing somebody for £7,500 and incurring legal fees of £234,000 is disproportionate. That's openly disproportionate. And at any stage of this case, a sane judge could have shut it down and pointed that out. Mrs. Justice Ellen Bogan should have really kicked this out and said, this is a total waste of my time, or dealt with this in a paragraph. Instead, she treats it like the most sacred of cases ever brought before the High Court, when it is actually a complete rinse. And I think, personally, you're designed to get angry at Mr. Awale. I think you should be angry against Mr. Awale for murdering two innocent teenagers and being an Islamic extremist. The 7,500 really is just a bit of an icing on a very peculiar cake. I think you should be much angrier at the £234,000 of your money spent on KCs from a largely perceived left-leaning set, indulged in the High Court, told with all great pomp and circumstance that they're terribly important and what they're doing really matters, which has come out with a precedent, a case precedent, that can't actually be reused. That, and I don't know if I can explain adequately why that is offensive. The first case, when we invented cryptocurrency, the first case on cryptocurrency, of course, it cost a lot of money, but it sets a binding legal precedent that then can be implied in all cases involving cryptocurrency. So nobody else has to go back to court. They've not done this. They weren't even trying to do this. Human rights never does this. There is basically no precedent here. The public has paid for a judgment that is of no value to the people, because it just says every case shall be assessed on their merits, and it has to be a proportionality exercise, which just means we can do the whole shebang again, which just means we can get two more KCs from a lefty-leaning barrister's chambers and pay them ridiculous amounts of public money for absolutely no reason. Now, for clarity, their juniors will have got some of their money and the solicitors will have got some of that money. I'm not suggesting that they just divvied the two up between them. But frankly, this won't have taken much of their time intellectually. They could have waffled any nonsense as far as anyone's concerned. I'm sure next time they will. And they still received what anybody would perceive as a fat paycheck for a very little amount of work. We need to fix our legal system. We need to leave the ECHR, but we need to do more than that if we're to stop this. And I think it's about time the country woke up. Thank you.